Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Person comes in and says that everything, suddenly a wind comes, sweeps from the desert, strikes the four corners of the house, and all the people, your children, they're gone. So basically, he's just now been told the rest of everything he has is gone. And this is Job's response. Then Job stood up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. It says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thank you tonight for your word, for truth. God, we know tonight there is nothing else but truth. God, we have no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved than Christ Jesus alone. Father, the exclusivity of what we know as truth tonight, God, we take great comfort in. Lord, as we read Job's response, Father, to loss, and ponder in ourselves the choices we may make, God, at times we will be faced with, not may, but will be faced with in our lives. God, let us tonight solidify our resolve, God, to in all things fall down and worship God, no matter what we are faced with, recognizing that everything we have is a blessing from you, Father. And God, may you alone be glorified tonight. Pray one would hear the gospel tonight, not only here, but all over the globe, and profess faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, and truly be able to live the life that you created them to live, a life that is transformative, God. Not the ordinary, God, the extraordinary. Compel us all to that, and we ask this in Jesus' precious, holy, and righteous name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The choice. We have choices. We face choice. We do literally choices every single day, all day, every day, until the minute we lay down at night and go to sleep. Our whole entire life is a series of choices, literally from the time that we become a toddler and choose to go over and touch the light socket, or myself who walked up, headed towards a crocodile that was less than 10 feet away when I was a child, and I didn't know. I was 2 years old, and thank the Lord, somebody saw, hollered at my parents, and they grabbed me right before the crocodile that was now walking towards me, got me, and I would have been nothing more than a blip in history like my sister Martha in her 2 weeks of life was. There's choices that we make, and you know, as we grow up, you know, what the truth of God and His Word does is give us a framework with which the blessing of God is found within. And the choice we make when we become adults, we think, right, at 18 years old, I can go do what I want to. I have a specific time with my children, and they're about 16, I start to give them more freedom, and if they act accordingly, they begin to get more freedom. And then at 18, I say, you don't have to ask me anymore, and it's kind of stunning to them, and they come back, and when I ask them, why are you asking me? You're an adult now, and you're going to stand accountable. You will live and die by your choices. Have a good life. I've raised you now. Now, you're not going to do drugs. You know, there's things you're not going to do. There's, if you're going to be under my roof, you're going to live by certain parameters, and if you don't, not only will I not have a problem showing you the door, I will pick you up and put you out the door graciously. And I will not even eat with you if such action needs to happen, because that's what the scripture calls when someone is in blatant disobedience and refuses counsel and says, nope, you take a flying leap. There comes a point in the scripture that you have to do certain things. And I guess one of my downfalls is if I have to shut the door, I can shut the door and never open it again. Some people go, how hard can you be? Why would you? Well, I have to trust God. Either I'm going to trust God and His Word, or I'm in big trouble, you're in big trouble, throw it all out, go out the door, good luck. Because you have no framework by which you can base anything else if God's Word is not the full counsel in your life, and you live and die not by the red letters. Don't give me this. Oh, that's red letters. Let's pay attention. It's all God's Word. It's all red letters. So either you believe it all or you believe none of it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I challenge you, if you ever say, you know, I just don't think they're thinking that the creation was 13,000 years, I would encourage you to do what I did, like Billy Graham, lay it on your floor, pray over it. God, the only limitations to understanding your word is the finite nature with which my human understanding and comprehension is limited in. And I understand that you are infinite. So therefore, God, the only limitations to the truth of your word is with which I am constrained by. Now, you might be, it's interesting because so many people put so much stock in Stephen Hawking. And I'm sorry, y'all, I don't know why this is even a conversation with anybody, because my issue becomes when he wrote the Brief History of Time, I believe it's the first book he wrote, if I remember correctly, and it was a brief history of what happened in time and matter and black holes, and this guy was the premier philosopher, right, the astrophysicist that gave this astounding understanding of black holes and the particles with which they released that had never been even, one person after one of his lectures stood up and went, this is preposterous, because what he was presenting was so outside of the realm of all of these brilliant minds' ability to comprehend and understand. Now this is where I want to, if I'd have been in the audience, I'd have stood up and said, excuse me, sir, with all due respect, I have a question. You are giving a hypothesis of what is in the infinites of space and time. You've never seen it, you've never touched it, apart from a telescopic understanding of it and a hypothesis, a process with which they believe that something occurs and how it occurs. Sir, I would settle the matter of why ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, has you confined to a wheelchair. You get yourself out of that thing. You solve the issue with which has now constrained you to a wheelchair. Then I will hear you talk to me about something you cannot see, touch, or feel. You see? There's people that literally base their entire eternal destiny on his belief that there's no God, that everything evolved from the Big Bang and all this evolutionary theory. Church, I actually was texting with my son. I said, am I the only idiot in the room? I hate to say that word, but I said that. I said, am I really the only one here that is asking this question? You can't cure the common rhinovirus? Excuse me? You're going to tell me there's no God? You can't cure cancer? You can't tell me these basic fundamental things, and you're going to tell me there's no God? Listen, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night, friends. See, I have felt, experienced the hand of God. I can't even number the times, church. I have seen the supernatural provision of God. I watched a movie today, if you have a chance, Netflix, called Mully, M-U-L-L-Y. Watch it. Profound testimony of a man's life for Christ. Oh my goodness gracious. Watch it. One of the richest men in Nigeria. Started out after his parents abandoned him, if I remember correctly, at 11 or 12 years old. They left in the middle of the night. He woke up one morning, had no family, no nothing. If you get a chance, I mean it, watch it. Write it down. M-U-L-L-Y, Mully. You'll see a large African-American man with a cowboy hat on the pit. That's the one. Just hit play. I promise you, you won't be wasting your time. See, the choices that even in that movie you will see are choices to deny self, take up your cross, and follow the Lord. It's Matthew 25. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. People say, oh, you must have wanted a lot of kids. Why you take them in? No, I did when I was young. But no, we weren't looking to raise a whole tribe of people when God started sending us. No, it's because God calls me to. And actually, in the separation of the sheep and the goats, which is judgment, we see in Matthew 25. Read it. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Read it tomorrow and focus on what I'm saying. So then you can tomorrow understand what I'm saying in it as you read it. See, judgment's going to be as he separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Come, ye blessed of my Father, prepared for you from the foundations of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. Ready? The sheep say, when? When were you hungry? When were you thirsty, Lord? When Were you naked and we clothed you? When we were sick and in prison and we visited you? He said, whatever you did to the least of these, you've done unto me. Then he turns to goats. He says, I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. Thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. They will say, when were you hungry, Lord? When were you thirsty? When were you naked? Whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do unto me. They will go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous to eternal life. Well, Brother Jonathan, you're now basing the scriptural understanding of followers of Christ in works. Well, you can call it that. But a follower of Christ does the work. They don't focus on the works as their source of righteousness and redemption. No. They feed, they clothe, they visit. Because they are the sheep. They see the need in a brother or sister in Christ, and how could you not? If anybody in this church was tragically killed and your children were left with no one to raise them, do you think for a moment I'd go, hey, I got enough, it's not my business, it's not mine? Absolutely not. I don't care if every one of them we had to raise. Because your kids matter just like my own biological kids did. Your kids matter. Just because they've been met with a set of unfortunate circumstances or they have parents that decide that using is better than staying and doing, do they not deserve it because they have bad parents? No, they deserve everything that our kids deserved. Or our kids were blessed with. I wouldn't say deserved because none of us deserve anything. Amen? See, God's blessed us so that we can bless others. And when I sit with my son and I'm so thankful for the relationship that we have and we're able to sit and talk, and it's been really a huge blessing that it's God's just so infinite in his ability to transcend time, because I know that God was knitting my son and I's hearts together all those years that I homeschooled him. We spent all that time together because the ability to walk in and hug my son like I did when he was 2 years old. Genuine, like dad's here. There's no words for that. He knew, dad's here. At night on the phone, son, I'm coming right now. Church, you know I don't stay up. Church, I don't stay up at night. Y'all know that. Church, I was woke up at 10 o'clock at night. 700 miles later, when the sun came up, we sit in that driveway. I won't tell you how fast I went, church, because I knew I had to get to my boy. I knew he needed to be ministered to. Why do we do that? We do it because, not just because he's my son. It wasn't my biological son. It wouldn't matter. You do that because that's what sheep do. You minister to one another. See, Job had a choice. Job could have done what you ready? I'm going to tell you what you want me to tell you what human flesh wanted to do? I'm going to tell you right now. I said it to my wife. I said, I've in no way right now ever wanted to run farther and faster in my life. This is before I got in the car to drive. I said, Mama, I am in no way physically, emotionally, or spiritually able to do this right now. It's been a rough 30 days. I said, I want right now to run like never before in my life. And I'm serious. I just wanted to run. I wanted to run and pretend that nothing happened. See, that's the flesh. See, the heart's willing, but the flesh is weak. You might go, how could you say that, Brother Jonathan? You don't know where I was at. You don't know where I'm at right now. I have not been physically, and I know 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, thank God for that, and his power is made perfect in my weakness. And church, that's why I stayed up all night long and drove and thanked the Lord for the ones that went with me that helped keep me awake, and thanked the Lord for the blessing of that, because if not, you'd have buried too, I assure you. I was sleeping with my eyes open and people were having to poke me. But that's the thing about it. You've got to do what you've got to do, church. It's God's power that's made perfect in our weakness. And Job had a choice here. at this culmination of the worst day of his life. As a matter of fact, we see later on, if you've ever read Job, I hope you have. By the way, I was supposed to make my copies, got the copy paper, and have my copy tonight, do my new read through the Bible. I got them. They're going to be ready. I'll have them on Sunday. Sunday's the first, right? Dude, just you're going to start your new one. If you have to start it before you're here Sunday, just take your old one and read the first day. You'll be on track. But right when you start, look, my mind's all over the place, Mark. But you've got Job. You've got this critical culmination of the worst series of events that could ever transpire in someone's life. We say, oh, yeah, Job had it bad. No, I only lost one. He lost them all. Not only did he lose his entire family, but the nagging wife, he loses everything else. All his servants, all his crops, it's all gone. You ever thought about what you'd honestly, don't give me your spirit. I don't want to hear another person's lying spiritual response. I want the truth. When you're honest with yourself and not your church response, I want your real heart, your raw heart. What would your response be to that? How many people go home tonight, if your house burnt down, you'd be all over Facebook wailing to the whole world. I can't believe God would do this. I've seen it in people. That's just your house. You've not lost your children. You've not lost all your possessions. You just lost a house. Yeah, there's possessions in there, but guess what? First thing we do is what? Hey, there's no loss of life. But yet the first thing, the response, the human condition many times is woe is me. Do you realize that we condition ourselves now for how we respond when that day comes and we get that call? Whether you're the family in Hermitage that, you mean, Lord, they're on a church thing going to look at Christmas lights and you could let that happen, right? God, you bless my son, and how many of you have heard me say it? I don't know how many people have sent me a text or said, I know how much you'd adored your daughter-in-law. I don't think there's anybody in here that I have not prefaced when I've talked about her by saying, I could not imagine picking a better wife for my son, huh? You've heard it out of my mouth. You think it wasn't one of the hardest things in the world to ever grasp having happened? Because it's not just anybody. It's one of the greatest wives I could have ever imagined for my son. One of the brightest lights that I've ever known in my life. Y'all met her. Even if only briefly. I didn't even realize I found this out. She left. Her sister came in that she hadn't seen in years, left to come to me and Jessica's graduation. Because she loved us so much. That's what I'm talking about. And see, it's those times that you make this choice. And the first thing I want to share is this. When loss comes, we are faced with a choice. Listen, I didn't say if, I said when. Church, this is what we don't know. And see, I didn't know that the last time y'all saw me on Wednesday night, that I had a 48-hour timer when we left church. I didn't know. And if I'd have known, I would have been. I've told y'all how I don't like the phone ringing at night. I can't stand it. It scares me. It freaks me out. It's like PTSD with me. When a phone rings at night, it makes me nervous because no one's ever called me at night. So I just got a big promotion and $1 million. Never. The only thing that happens at nighttime when my phone rings is when someone's life has changed. So you understand why I have this angst for a phone ringing at night. I don't let it be, it's not a fearful thing by no means. It's just a thing that I know, Lord, I'm getting ready to have to hear something that I don't want to hear. I want to run before I answer the call. Thankfully, I missed the text that my son sent me an hour before, saying something very terrible has happened. I can't say anything right now because that would have destroyed me. God gave me, thankfully, the sleep that allowed me to sleep through that until he called an hour later. See, when loss comes, we're faced with that choice. A lot of times the first response is get mad at God. Why could God? How could God? And this is what I've realized in life. We blame a whole lot of things on God that don't have nothing to do with what He did. It's what we did. It's what someone else did. Oh, how could you let the drunk driver hit and kill my family? Excuse me, the last time I looked, God wasn't driving drunk down the road. Someone made a choice, and America hasn't gotten serious enough about it, and that's why we keep losing people to that, because America's politicians are so steeped in that stuff that it's just this big live and let live until it's your kid, until it's your family. I'm sorry, but I have a special disdain the more I'm seeing family after family be affected by the ravages of what that substance does. See, we have a choice. See, grief goes through stages, and I wish I had them in order right now. I studied them in psychology, I studied them in police, and I studied them in nursing school. But right now, church, also, please understand this. I would wish I could send a thank you individually to every person who has done something special for us, even if it's a special text, a card. Church, I don't even know what I got for Christmas. We haven't had Christmas. I don't know what I bought. I don't know who. My mind, church, is so fried, literally. I don't ever remember in my lifetime. My mind, I feel like I've got Alzheimer's right now. And I know it's trauma, and I know it's my brain's protective mechanism right now. So please, if I forget something and I don't send, please don't get offended by it. And please say that to other people. I want to make sure that I can thank everybody that's done something, but literally it's so, even the prayers. I have people calling me from all over the country that have prayed for us, and I thank everyone for that, but please don't hold it against right now if we don't specifically send you like a thank you card or something, because it's just so astounding right now that right, it's so hard this moment to process daily life that I don't want that to be an avenue with which someone gets hurt and offended when there's no malice in any way. Y'all know it, I'll always send you a thank you card or something when you do something. So just please notate that right now, because it's going to take, I'll be honest with you, church, it's probably going to take a month or month and a half before my brain gets back, because I'm still really messed up. I just got off my PICC line on Monday, and my body is still extremely messed up from what happened with all of that. So to God be the glory. Let's move on, ADD. The second thing I want to share with you tonight is comes from verse 20 there, real quick. Then Job stands up, tears his robe, shaves his head, falls to the ground, ready, and worshiped. You know what shaved head is, right? It's a sign of your mourning. It's grief. You're broken. I'm done. That's what he did. Job was showing this humble, broken, torn robe. It is the absolute sign of pure and utter grief, brokenness. Your heart has been ripped from you. Second thing I want to share with you tonight comes from that, and it's this. We can grieve in a godly way, or we can go the broad road. We can grieve a godly way, or we can go the broad road. Just down in Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville is Camp Lejeune. I will just tell you, there is a buffet of anything wicked, evil, and depraved that you could ever imagine, because one of the biggest, right, bases, and that, right, it's a huge base down there. They've got every vice that you could ever imagine down there. Well, you know, I'm in a totally different place. Nobody knows me. Well, what a great time to just take your pick, whatever. I don't know. Well, see, when you grieve a godly way, it doesn't allow the enemy to steal any more than he's already stolen. And remember, God doesn't allow anything to happen unless it's part of his allowance and he uses it for his glory. So I recognize that. But I realize there's a demonic element in this. The enemy's scriptural, steal, kill, destroy. Try to take my life. Tried to do what he tried to do. I'm going to go after you. Why? He doesn't like anything that's associated with what I and our family, this church, and all of you represent. He doesn't like it. He wants to get me to stop. He's tried for almost 15 years, church. He's tried everything. Y'all know I've had all the trouble with my kidneys, all this stuff, my heart, all of this. Can't stand what I'm doing. Blood pressure goes up. You know, the doctor, hey, you know, you need to lower your stress, go home, sit down, recliner for about 10 years, just calm down, you know, you'll live longer. Oh, okay, sure, right. That'd be really in the midst of God's will, right? No, you keep going, and you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and you know the message that God's called you to proclaim is greater than the enemy's desire to steal, kill, and destroy, and God's power, his presence, his purpose, and his work will in everything be triumphant, and you can either be a part of it or excuse yourself out of the blessings of God in the process. Out of the, right? We understood. It was for your health, for your family. Yeah. Sounds real good, doesn't it? Just like the time I heard somebody tell me, wasn't at this church either. It was an unsaved person. I'm sorry, it was a saved person that didn't go to a church that called me because somebody told him I'd give him the counsel that was going to be objective. And they said, I need to divorce my spouse because they have been into pornography. Excuse me? Are you a believer? Follower? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I want to get away from him so God can get him saved. This is in no way godly. Your spouse needs you to minister to them, and you married them knowing they were not a believer, and you've got to stand firm, and you need, are they hurting you? Are they beating you? No, just they've been watching some of that pornography. Well, you have no scriptural grounds. Well, God wants me happy. Exact words. I said, give me the verse in the scripture. You want to talk about the Lord staying happy? It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Give you desires your heart, more of himself. We have been bought into this lock, stock, and barrel prosperity doctrine of God wants me happy, healthy, and wealthy. Well, then how cruel could it be to leave us in the brokenness of this sin-stained world, calling us out spiritually and leaving us in this... Excuse me, my daughter-in-law died. God's desire is health, wealth, and prosperity. You want to tell me? I'll fight with somebody. Amen. Thankfully, I'm not going to go down the road to the prosperity preacher and have a chat with him right now because I might get arrested in my grief. Amen? Oh, me. Right. So that's why I know that would not be a healthy conversation because I want truth. Don't sell me some sunshine and bubble gum. Don't tell me this no because it's not the truth. As a matter of fact, I repetitively share with you James chapter 1, consider it pure joy when we face trials of many diverse kinds. Testing of our faith, perseverance, that it might complete its work, so we would complete, not lacking anything. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, by staying rooted in God's word and anchoring myself as I share so often in that song I love so much, and Christ is solid rock I stand, I've texted that to so many people that had asked if I was hanging in there. All other ground is sinking sand. And I said, well, he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Because that's where I am right now. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood surround me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. See, that is something that stands the test of time when everything around and everyone will pass away. Everyone. There will come a day when you will wake up, and I'm going to tell you the only words you will know is alone. You will know it. All you have to do is live long enough. Maybe you'll die first. But many people in this building right now will experience the phenomenon alone. But what do you have then? What do you have when you're the family at my father's church? Many years ago, headed to into Delaware for the weekend to visit family for their yearly family vacation. Had, if I remember correctly, 6 kids. The guy worked for the equivalent of the TWRA up in Maryland, and a girl in a car, flying, doing almost 100 miles an hour, clips the back quarter panel of their van, and it's kind of like the police do in a pit maneuver. When you're doing 70 miles an hour and somebody clips the back of your minivan, there's a thing that it does called It does a pit maneuver and it sends you into a barrel roll. Well, you're doing 70 miles an hour. Long story short, one, the littlest ones survived. All of them were killed. Five caskets as one stands there with the aunt and uncle at the parents' funeral. Why do I say that? I say that to tell you the reality of life. It happens. It may not happen to you individually. It may happen to someone you know. My question for you is the choice when you're faced with that, when I'm faced with that, I have faced that. I didn't lose five people, but it felt like I lost an army. And at the place I was physically and emotionally and spiritually at this point, it felt like I lost the world. But I had a choice. Either I could get angry at God and make excuses for bad behavior and involve myself in things that would further give the enemy glory. I did what that song by Laurel Harris, he wrote in, I believe it was 1986, I will glory in the cross so that his suffering is not in vain. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. It's an awesome song. Because he made provision for me. I will glory in the cross. So his suffering will not be in vain. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. We rejoice in a risen Savior. I have nothing else to place my faith, my trust. I'd have nothing to escape from. I don't need to bury anything. By removing myself psychologically from the world as a mechanism by which I comfort myself in indulging in spirits, the spirit realm, I don't want anything to do with it. All I need to do is see what's written above the door to know, no thank you. I danced with you long enough. I know tonight that as we grieve, we can grieve in a godly way and not enter the broad road that dangerously brings us to a place that can bring pain, suffering, heartache, and hurt. And third, and done, we're done. Verse 21. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, godly grief brings God glory. As I preached my daughter's funeral, I was very comforted as I looked back and there was a mountain of Marines, and in the back left-hand corner, I saw a big bearded man from Tennessee. He waited till all the Marines had come through. And Andrew Cunningham came up to me. He's probably never been hugged like I hugged him. And I cried on him. And I said, thank you for coming. See, that godly grief that he experienced coming out of me brings God glory. As I shared how we can use the life that she lived to make decisions on how we go forward with our lives from that point on, knowing many of these people who were listening to this, for the most part, probably a number of them had never heard anything concerning the gospel, John 3:16, or anything else apart from cliche things. We can justify ungodly grief. We can justify ungodly lifestyles. We can justify compromise with our children and say, you know what, you know how it is. Or we can decide to live not only a life worth living, but a transformative life that watches our children down the road. Though there may be prodigal periods, church, godly parents. I don't know children that have not at one point or another had periods in their life when they, in a sense, wander from the Lord. So you have the promise that he who began a good work and you'll perform it to the day of Christ Jesus. You have the promise. Might not be next week, next month, or next year, but you are praying in faith and anticipation, as the prodigal son's father did, standing at the end of the lane, waiting for that son to come. We know it says he was a long way off. That meant the father was looking with anticipation. The father knew he was coming, he just didn't know when. Tonight, are you going to be faced with the choice? Let your children see you train wreck. Let your children see you run off the end of the runway. Let your children see you crash and burn, and then that's what they know how to do, and that's the way they know to act. Or are you going to stand firm at those times when you literally want to run and not stop? You're going to make that choice tonight to say, hey, you know what? I want a legacy worth living for. I want a legacy that goes on in infamy after I'm gone, as people share how I've impacted their lives. I want to live a life that changes lives. It's not a life lived in self. It's a life that's lived selflessly. That's what it is. It's not easy. I'll tell you, it's not. Because it's so easy to blame God for everything. God, you this, and God, you that, and we know. Well, if we do that, then what we're saying is, God, he lied. God's a liar. God didn't stop what he could have, and he's no good. See, the same thing with my mother losing my sister Martha in Peru at 2 weeks old while they're on the mission field, that they could have cursed God and died. See, their steadfast testimony and coming home and living for Christ ended up with Martha dying, led the way for me to be born. Hence tonight, here I am. You would not know me. Longview Baptist Church would have never heard the name Jonathan Osterhaus because he would have never been born. So that's the thing, that God is able to transcend time. And tonight, we are going to face something, but what are you going to do tonight to prepare spiritually for that, so that you stand firm, steadfast when that time comes? What are you going to do tonight when all of your life and world crumbles, crashes around you? What are you going to do? Well, tonight you can make some choices so that when it does happen, you have been steadfast and you will merely do what you have done. God, now, as you're in your word, as you're rooting yourself and delighting yourself in the Lord, you're delighting him. He'll give you the desire of your heart, which is more of him. And what that will do in turn is grow you and spiritually prepare you for that phone call that I will never forget. It will haunt me the rest of my life. I've told Emily, I said, I don't believe I will ever be able to purge that sound of my son's voice and the words he spoke to me the rest of my life. It's like PTSD as I hear it over and over and over again. I think something about your child saying what was said to me, it just shocked my every being to the core. See, it doesn't change the goodness of God. It doesn't change his faithfulness. Lord, could you not have prepared us? You know, God, everything's tough, but you know, stretch this out a little bit. Let's have a brain aneurysm. Come on, do something. No. I'm not God. Let us say goodbye, God, something. He couldn't say goodbye to his wife. God had to do it in a morgue. Come on, God. You've got to be more loving than that. No, God's really loving, and he's really faithful, and I will ever trust him. And I pray tonight that the areas of your life that are unarmored, you would begin tonight to make that conscious choice to say, God, I've got this closet in my life. I've left this because I don't want to deal with it, or this is my little addiction, my little hidden thing. And God, I just don't want to give that up. But if you're all in, you've got to let it go. And I pray tonight, maybe that's you. Maybe God's used this and the Holy Spirit to convict you that that area's got to go. Because until you're all in, you're never going to know what it means to truly live armored up and be ready for that day that inevitably you or I will face. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, God, for...
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.